come and take me to the river. The old and up with the new, the hard reset, my life take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, here we are again. It's time for Go Yard, and we are live in the studio and excited to be here. And I am Mama Mac, along with my amazing co-host, Dr. Angel Falzone, and PhD licensed mental health counselor, and a whole lot of years. There you go. I love that, Pete. Thank you. Yes, we need to appreciate her more, don't we? Absolutely. Thank you, Pete. Yes. So, Dr. Angel, we are on an interesting topic here, and we're live tonight. And so there's occasionally times that one of us is out of town, so we can't be sometimes. But we are tonight. And if anybody would like to call in and ask any questions or comment, we want them to.
Absolutely.
So, and you can do that by write this number down, 727-441-3000, 727-441-3000, if you have any questions as we're going through this show tonight. And also you can text. My phone is right here. Our text number is 727-888-4171. Some people prefer to do that, Dr. Angel. I think they don't want to get on the air and be heard or something.
Let's,
you know,
them be anonymous.
Yeah, so it's fine. 727-888-4171 is our text number if you want to get involved with the show tonight. We started the series maybe 3 weeks ago. Last week we had to do a repeat show. I was in Texas enjoying my new grandbaby. And here we are tonight ready to go into part three of It's Complicated.
Yes.
Surviving divorce. And it is complicated. And that's why we titled it this, right? Because this is not an easy subject to talk about. It is not an easy subject to do a show about, because so many people have different opinions. Some people, we discussed a couple weeks ago, that some people for religious reasons don't even believe, quote unquote, in divorce. And some people stay together that are making themselves, their children, and everyone around them totally miserable, right?
Absolutely. And then within each situation, there's so many different things that can happen, that every experience is pretty unique to itself.
It is. It really is. So, and you know, I think one of the ways that we can approach it is that if you know someone going through divorce, or you got someone in your family, or one of your kids, whatever, that if you're not in that marriage, which obviously you're not, if it's your relative or a friend, we shouldn't be judging.
Absolutely not. And that's really important. You know, we can be supportive, but it's really ultimately the people who are in that relationship's final decision. And so our support should not be limited by which decisions they make.
Exactly. So by supporting them does not have to mean that you agree with what's
not at
happening.
All. Right? Correct. It just means you're there for them. You can listen to them. You know that you're continuing that relationship and being a support person.
Well, on that line, as we're starting this show tonight, don't you think it's dangerous sometimes for family members, especially parents and close family members or close friends, to voice their opinions during the divorce process?
You know, it really can. It can really impact those relationships, because for a lot of reasons. So maybe you're in agreement and you think the person they're married to is, you know, scum or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, you're helping persuade them to go through with it. And maybe they reconcile and now they get back together. And now
that's it right there.
You're going to be the enemy.
I have seen this in too many instances. That is a very good example of why not to get involved. Right?
Absolutely. And, you know, in either way. And so really keeping your, you know, your opinion out of it, it's kind of important, letting people work through it on their own, utilizing their own thoughts and opinions without your projecting yours onto them.
Well, and don't you think one of the reasons why that's so important is because if you're not in the marriage, you don't really know
every detail, because things from the outside can look really good.
Oh my, you know, I mean, it can look like, hey, I don't know why you get upset with him. I mean, or her, and blah, blah, blah. And you can voice your opinion as a parent or a relative or a friend or whatever. And it can be very hurtful, don't you think?
Absolutely, can be very hurtful, and it can really change that relationship you have with that person for the better, for the worse. And so just kind of staying objective.
Right.
Unless somebody directly asks you for your opinion, I wouldn't be putting it out there. And then if I'm asked, I might be, you know, a little bit vague and still letting them, you know, have that freedom to figure it out.
And one of the good answers is always seek professional help, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Go to a counselor.
No matter. There's no such thing as an easy divorce. So
none.
Even when it's amicable, there's so many feelings and life changes. And so professional help or support groups are really important through this time.
Exactly. Okay, that's a good point to start tonight. But we also want to kind of start where we left off 2 weeks ago, because that whole show was about the effects of divorce on children.
Absolutely. Right? It was about handling divorce with children. And we were breaking some of the myths and giving some really good information about how we do that.
2 weeks ago tonight is when that was. It's on the website here, tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast, go to Go Yard, and look for that date, which was November 2nd. Look for that date, because that was part two of this series. I think the week before was part one in October. So catch up by going to the podcast here. And then at the end of each month, our webmaster puts these shows on our website, goyard2014.org, O-R-G. Why should they go check that website out?
Because when we do a show on a topic, it may not be where you're at right now, but life happens. And you may get there and you may need those tools. And so they are titled, so you kind of got a gist of what those shows are about and easy to access when you need them.
Yeah. The podcasts are not titled, but going to our website, you will find the titles. GoYard2014.org, O-R-G. So just give a brief summary of the children's situation, if you will, just in a paragraph or whatever, how important it is that we understand how this is affecting kids.
Well, first of all, our first goal should be protecting our kids throughout this, which means protecting their ears, protecting their experience, helping to create that safe, predictable environment for them so they can learn and thrive and grow and develop in a healthy trajectory. And so that comes with scheduling. That comes with what information I'm letting my kids hear. That means protecting them from those things as much as we possibly can.
So if a person's going through divorce and the spouse is constantly using the kids against the other party.
Mm-hmm.
Comment on that, if you will.
Well, and then that's an unhealthy situation. And it's really, and so you can't control what other people do, but maybe that child needs to get into counseling. But you can protect on your end as when you have that child of what you're saying back or those conversations. I would suggest if you're going through a divorce where it's at that level, where the kids are actually being used, that they have their own counseling to help them work through those feelings, and making sure that, you know, you're protecting them throughout that process as much as you can.
Right. Okay. All right. So that kind of sums up. They need to be safe. I think we say that a lot on this show about the safety of children, right? And it's not just about their physical safety, but it's about their mental and emotional safety.
Absolutely. And when we're talking about children, felt safety is a core thing that they need to learn, grow, and develop healthy. And so that means having a schedule that they can predict. That means having stability. That means having consistent expectations. That means knowing what consequences will look like. Those are the things that are in part of felt safety, as is what are they hearing? What are they being privy to? You know, you think you're on the phone in the bedroom with your BFF and you're letting it rip, but your kids are very intuitive and they hear through
walls.
And
they hear it. Yes. Okay. And so, so important that the kids realize that there's a set of rules at dad's and maybe a set of rules at mom's, right?
Absolutely. And it's okay. Each house can have their own set. As long as they have expectations that are predictable for kids, they can thrive in both environments, even though they have differences.
So it's really when there's no set expectations that kids feel unsafe. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Absolutely. And so when we talk about kids feeling unsafe, what we start seeing are anxieties, depression,
right.
behavioral
yeah.
issues. Those will start rising when kids don't have felt
safety.
Could
be drug use, drinking, and that kind of thing.
Depending on the age of your kid, absolutely. It could go from falling out tantrums to utilizing substances or getting in gangs. So there's a lot of behavior. When I talk about behavior, it's all that bad behavior.
Okay. All right. So here's some things not to do or do nots as
yes.
you're going through divorce. And we've broken these down. There's quite a few of them. Some of you may want to take notes on some of this. The first one is quite interesting that you have here, Doctor. Do not
isolate yourself.
Okay. Why not? Because maybe somebody out there is going through divorce and it's painful and they just don't want to talk about it, or they just want to stay home and hibernate. And, you know, cocoon, and put the shades down and just sleep all day and try to avoid everything. Right?
And so that's the recipe for depression.
That is a recipe for depression.
It really is when you isolate yourself. And just because I'm telling you to not isolate yourself doesn't mean every conversation you have has to be about your divorce. It can be about life, your career, what you're thinking, what you want to do. But having people for support. You know, when we go through divorce, we typically, or just a long relationship that breaks, we lose supports, because usually we have common supports with our other person and, you know, family that may not accept us as family because we're not part of that marriage relationship anymore. And so there's a natural loss of some of our supports. So this is an important time to, like, know who are your supports or make new friends during this time.
Okay, so address that, because let's say somebody's been married 15, 20, 25 years. And so they've had these in-laws, these same in-laws, and maybe they've been very close to those in-laws or sister-in-law or brother-in-law or whatever the case may be, or they go to the same church.
That happens all the time.
And so then people pick sides, don't they?
Either one or two things happen. They either pick a side, or they feel so uncomfortable that they don't want to be around you because they don't want to feel like they have to pick a side.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
And so a lot of times in that process, they just kind of back off a little bit. And so you feel that loss. And now you have this loss of this significant relationship. And then you're having a loss of people you really love and care about, too.
Right.
So it's really important, especially like couples who have couple friends.
Yes,
those are relationships that tend to kind of either side or back off.
Right.
And so make some friends. Even if you have a small little support group, have support group
so
of people for
as
you.
As you're going through divorce, if the friends that were your couple friends and you've always gone on cruises or always gone out with these same people and whatever, and now they feel like they're put in a place of feeling a little weird about
this whole thing. They kind of
feel caught
in the middle.
They feel caught in the middle. Your suggestion, if I'm hearing you correctly, is start making some new acquaintances and start branching out for yourself. Is that what I hear?
Getting out for yourself and having friends that are your friends.
Right.
Or supports that are your supports. And having those people to go get coffee with, to do things, go to the park, so you're not isolating, so you're not falling into depression.
I would think that one of the good places to look for people like that is at your work.
You know, you can find buddies at work. You have a lot of commonality.
Because they don't necessarily know the spouse, right?
Correct. But they know you.
But they know you. So that might be a place where you can find that friendship or that bonding apart from those couple relationships you had.
And there's a lot of really great social ways to kind of get out and meet some new people. A lot of churches have, activities, even if it's not the church you belong to.
They have singles groups now, don't they?
They have divorce groups of people who've been divorced. They have singles groups. A lot of local cities have all kinds of little things that go on, and those are some good places maybe to make a couple friends too. So get out a little
bit. Okay, so go back to this point. Why is it so important not to isolate? Because somebody out there may be saying, I don't feel like going out. I don't feel like talking to people at work. I don't feel like telling anybody what I'm going through or whatever.
Why we don't want to do that? First of all, it's not healthy for us.
Okay.
And we get stuck. When we isolate, now we're stuck in that pain and we kind of tunnel in, and it either leads to a lot of depression.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see forward. We're not healthy for our children if we have children, and we're just losing that ability to be healthy.
Don't you think a lot of times when people isolate, Doctor, they tend to get very introspective and they just
do.
Why did I get to this place? And and how can I fix this? And they just like you said a minute ago, tunnel vision mm-hmm. on the marriage or the divorce or whatever's happening. And their joy. I mean, it's I would gone. Think that their joy is gone.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, yes, divorce is a very big event in life, but it's not the only thing going on in someone's life.
Right.
You know, there's other things that can be going on in our life at the same time. And we can have some good things happening when we're going through something tragic.
Right.
And so we need to find that. And that's what not isolating yourself is about. And I'm going to just put a curb here with the holidays. It's especially true with the holidays. If you have children, custody arrangements may not be, you know, figured out yet. You may not have your children for the first time for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and that really hurts.
It's very painful. Been there, done that, and it's difficult.
It is. It's very painful, and you can choose to do one of two things. You can choose to stay home alone and be very upset and cry and not have a good holiday.
Feel sorry for yourself.
And feel sorry for yourself, or you can use those supports and maybe get together and have a friend's Thanksgiving, or maybe go volunteer.
I was just going to suggest that because I know people who have done that, left the comfort of their home and went to like a church or went to a soup kitchen or whatever and served up food for people that didn't have a home or didn't have a place to go.
You know, that's what I did the first Christmas. I didn't have my kids.
I went and volunteered and fed the homeless
on Christmas Day.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, it felt good and it helped me through that really hard time.
Wow. I didn't know you did that.
Yes,
that's
I did.
Cool. I admire you for that. All right. What's another do not do this?
Do not talk about the divorce or your ex when the children are anywhere around you.
Oh, my gosh. That is so true. But you know, and I know, that people going through divorce violate that do not quite a bit. If they are so angry about the divorce that they are trying to pull the children to them and take them away from the other parent.
Or they just have to feel, right, get people on their side or, you know, and you do need to talk about it. And it's important to talk about your feelings. Just make sure remember back to the top of the hour when we talked about protecting our kids. And this is where it's really important is that negative energy. Because just because you're divorcing their parent, that's still their parent.
They're
not divorcing that person. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk negatively about their parent, we're talking negatively about them. And that's how they perceive that. And
because of the identity with their
parents. The identity. And so they hear through walls. They're very intuitive. And kids pick up on a lot more than you think they pick mm-hmm. up on.
Yeah. So very important not to do this. And it's also, I think, a good thing not to do for your own self.
Absolutely.
You should have limits and boundaries.
You know, there will be times, yes, you should be talking about it. And you need to. That's part of support. But it cannot be the entirety, and which goes right into our next one, not talking about our divorce or our ex to everyone we talk to.
Oh, my.
You know, sometimes when people are going through, that's all you can hear.
I can't remember the name of the movie, but there was a movie years ago, and it was about that. And this person would go out on a date and just sit there and just tell all the gory details of how she was cheated on and whatever. Right.
And a lot of people do that. That's like the only thing they're focusing on. So it's the entirety of their conversation. And remember, there's other parts of your life that are happening. And so making sure that, because people are going to get tired of hearing about it first. They're going to be like, I'm not taking that phone call because I've already heard everything about her ex I want to hear or his ex that I want to hear.
Right.
And so you'll start losing some of those support people, and it's not healthy for you either.
No, it's really not. And that really ties into cultivating new relationships, right? And I don't see how you can cultivate new friendships or date somebody if you're
stuck in the past.
Yeah, if you're stuck there in tunnel vision on your ex and all the awful things that person did.
Absolutely. You know, and here's the thing when I work with individuals through divorce recovery is they may have been divorced for a decade, but in their mind, you would have thought it was yesterday because they're still stuck there. And they haven't moved forward at all.
Why not?
Because they have not taken those steps for themselves to move forward. So they just stay stuck. And staying stuck is not healthy for anybody. You're not able to move on with your life and have that happiness and that joy and that contentment that we should be having in life. And so, you know, there is a grieving period, but it cannot be the entirety of everything we have going on either.
Well, and I want to go back to this point you made a minute ago. When people go out with you or go to dinner with you or talk on the phone with you, if that's your whole focus, that oh, I can't believe he did this or she did that or whatever and blah, blah, blah. You're not taking any interest in the person that right. you're having dinner with
it's or all about you.
On the phone with. It's all about you.
Absolutely.
And what does that say? I mean, that...
That's a one-sided relationship, and people aren't going to stay in that too long. And not only that, all these people don't need to know these details.
Right.
You need to be selective on who you're confiding in.
Let's talk about the support system real quick, because okay. we're talking a lot tonight about don't do this, don't do that. Do find a select few people as a support system, right?
Absolutely.
Do that.
Do that. Get out there and find some support.
And if somebody's listening and says, I don't have any idea how to find those people.
Start looking around you. There's people everywhere. You know, do things that you enjoy doing and find groups that are doing it. I'm telling you, today I was looking for community events and I just Googled our area and like community events. And there's like pages and pages and pages of all kinds of activities of different things going on. Most of them were free or very low cost. That's a great way to start making some friends.
Very good. Very good. And there are groups for divorce, right?
There's,
in different
yes.
churches. You don't have to go to a particular church to go to their divorce group or their...
No, most of the time they're extended to the community.
Community,
and,
right.
And sometimes it's better if it's not your church.
Right. Then you don't, you're talking. You're not... Yeah, you're not talking. And I don't know what it would be, but in AA or Al-Anon, there's also... If you're... spouse or your former spouse had problems with alcohol, drugs, substance, an Al-Anon program is excellent too.
Absolutely. Or codependency, and depending
yeah.
on the issues,
yeah,
there's
coda.
A lot of really good support groups.
Absolutely. So do, in all of our talking about don't, do find at least one person, right?
Yes. You know, and you should still have some supports with your family.
Right.
So you're not losing the entirety of your supports, but making some new friends is really, this is a great time because it's showing a step forward in your life too.
Okay.
You're starting to build.
So build some new friendships and relationships, not based on your divorce, right?
Absolutely. Because, you know, when you go through a divorce, there's a lot of loss. You know, you lose a life that you once knew. You lose
right.
some comforts. You're going to lose finances. You're going to lose friends and family members. There's a lot of things we lose. So it's a good time when we're in the middle of that loss to start showing something new for that.
And so, and kind of concentrating on what you're gaining, right?
Absolutely.
Because so many people get stuck in the loss side of it and feel like their whole life is falling apart, right?
They do. And then they get stuck on focusing on everything they don't have and that they're not making anything new for today. So their future isn't looking brighter either because we have to start building. And that's new things, new friends, new people, maybe a new church, maybe new, you know, there's new things to help
right.
start rebuilding and making it.
Before
what we
go
want.
To break, address the financial piece of this, because when people are going through divorce and the threats are made that you'll have nothing, I will ruin you, whatever the case may be, that can be a scary moment for, and some people go back to the spouse because they don't want to let go of that. Let's talk about that in a minute after the break. Here we go. Come right back.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
To the memories I hold dear.
That's a cool song.
Yeah.
Who sings that?
Oh, I have it written down right here for you.
So
it's Demita.
Thank you, Demita. Yeah, No Looking Back.
No Looking Back.
Well,
and so basically, what's the concept there? We just heard the beginning of it.
We did, about moving forward.
Right.
And not focusing on everything that was behind us and having that newness coming in.
Wow, if you just joined us, this is Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life. And I'm Mama Mac, along with my co-host, Dr. Angel Falzone. And we are in our series on It's Complicated.
It is complicated.
Surviving divorce.
Before we went to break, you were asking me a question about finances. And so finances definitely come into play when we have a divorce.
Absolutely. I know almost every divorce, don't you think?
It does, because whatever we had before usually gets cut in half because now we have two households. And it does happen. And finances do take a hit during that period of time. The good thing is there are laws in place to help protect people through divorce. And depending on the length of the divorce and your state law, will show you where
the
your
length of the marriage.
I mean, the length of the marriage. Did I say that backwards?
The length of the divorce.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's Thursday night.
That's
the length
right.
of the marriage. Some right. states have, you know, certain laws where you have to be married a certain length of time to get certain benefits.
But there is a chart, I know, in Florida, correct?
Yeah, Florida does. And Florida has a pretty standardized process with that, and they even have like a whole formula for figuring out like the child support differentials, and like it's everything's pretty formula based in Florida. But start researching that stuff or finding in that attorney and like looking at what's the reality of it. But the reality of it is you probably will have a different lifestyle than you once had.
And so don't you think, this is just my opinion, but you can give me your clinical opinion, don't you think it might cause some people who really want to get a divorce to stay in nasty, ugly situations or abusive situations because they really don't want to give up that big house or they really don't want to give up that car or whatever, and they think it will probably come to that?
Absolutely. And so that's probably like one of those number one reasons why people don't follow through.
Yeah.
Because then they're like, well, I don't want to go back to having to like rent an apartment, or I don't want to have to, you know, leave, you know, whatever it was that I once had and have less. Like that doesn't, in America, in our Western culture, stepping backwards is looked on as a negative sign by society. You know, oh, well, you're going backwards. And we don't want to feel going backwards.
But it's a trade-off.
For peace.
And
you
happiness.
Can't put a price tag on peace.
And yes. And so those of you out there that are either going through this or are contemplating it, there is no price tag for peace and feeling good about yourself and where you are. And especially if you've been, you know, suffering through a domestic violence type thing or an abusive, emotionally abusive relationship for a long time, there's something to be said for coming home to your dog.
Absolutely. It really absolutely is.
And your dog who doesn't yell at you and scream at you, you know?
And that peace is definitely one of those trade-offs. And, you know, you will take step backs. But, you know, that's part of the rebuilding process. And it doesn't take usually as long to rebuild as it took you to build there. Does that mean you're going to have, you know, oh, in 2 years I'll have everything I had? Not necessarily. But that rebuilding process, it becomes an accomplishment you've made. You've built that for yourself.
Right.
Now it's something you're showing for yourself that you can do, and a lot of strength comes through that.
I've said it very, very often through my years. There is life after divorce.
Oh, yes, there is.
But some people feel they're so intimidated and fearful about the loss of finances or whatever it might be, status in the community, whatever it might be, that it seems like it's just too hard to grasp that new life for some people.
And, you know,
and some people may be listening tonight that have felt that or going through it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just being alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's better to be with someone and miserable than be alone. And that shows that we're not healthy.
Right.
We should be okay being alone. It's okay to be alone. And we should be alone at certain stages in our life when we're going through this. It's okay. It's not a negative thing when we're alone.
Oh, no.
And sometimes it's the most peaceful thing there can be.
Some people look at it, though, as something's wrong with you if you're not married again right away, or if you are choosing to live alone or whatever the case may be. Don't you think that it has somewhat of a stigma or something
you know,
to it?
I feel like there is still a little bit of a stigma, but I feel like it's becoming more accepted in our culture as we're seeing this new generation wait, maybe not getting married or waiting later and later and later to get married. I mean, I work with quite a few of that millennial 20s, 30s generation, and most of them are not even in a serious relationship, do not have children. They're just, that's not where they want to be right now. But 20 years ago, that would have been like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? I remember I was 21 when I got married, and I was like, I felt like an old maid, you know? So yes, it is changing. It's just a slow change. Right. So it depends on who you talk to. So the younger generation's embracing it more, whereas the older generation's still stuck in that thought of being alone is bad.
And you know, so this is one of the do's instead of the don'ts. Do start imagining your life in a form of happy and
absolutely
content. Start picturing yourself content and happy, because I think so often the negative is so stressed by, let's say, the spouse who doesn't want the divorce or the family members who say you're wrong, that you can't picture what life could be like for you if you weren't in this difficult marriage.
And what you find in those moments is that things that make you happy in that process are things you might not have thought you'll find happiness in. Because you'll see new freedoms for yourself. And okay, for the first time, you're going to have control. Maybe you have control over the finances, whereas someone else had that before.
Okay.
And so now you might decide, I'm going to start making a small savings account. Even if you're starting with a couple dollars or a change bin, it adds up in a very short period of time. Or, you know, you can decorate your space the way you want, or add the, you know, you have that freedom.
Right.
And that freedom is not something that people can put a price tag, but it definitely makes people feel very content.
I've heard people that are going through divorce say that when they finally got through the process and it was painful and whatever, but they started watching different shows than they'd ever watched before.
Eating new restaurants.
Eating new places. Reading books. Going on little mini vacations to the beach or wherever, doing things that they did not do before, and they were consciously starting new habits or new routines. You know what I'm saying?
And that is what
that's
we want to do. That's going forward.
Saying. That's a do. Do that.
Do that. You know, go on a different routes to work. See things differently. Because a lot of times we get stuck mirroring the person we're with.
Yes.
And then we kind of lose what we like and what we don't like. And it almost becomes, this is the way it is. And I don't even really realize if I like it or don't like it, because I just have done it for so long that I don't even think about, is this my taste anymore? And so you will experience maybe movies, maybe books,
right,
maybe restaurants, maybe new kinds of foods, maybe all kinds of things.
I've known people that were married to somebody or in a relationship with somebody who would never like venture out of town or do anything different, you know? And it was just the same routine, always the same routine. And then after this divorce, then things began to change. And these people would say, now I am flying here, I'm going here, and really enjoying it.
And discovering new things. And sometimes we don't realize what we like or what we enjoy.
That's it. We lose ourselves,
until
don't we?
Do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you've been married, you know, a long time. You might have been young when you got in this, and your likes were completely different than where you are now in life.
Right.
I mean, even 5 years can make a difference in what we like and not like.
I think what we're saying here is we want to give people hope.
Yes.
That there is life after divorce or after a separation. Maybe you weren't married to the person, but now you've broken up and your life has changed drastically and you're in a little apartment or whatever the case may be. There is life after divorce. You don't have to stay in those same ruts. I was thinking about this a minute ago when you were talking, and I want to bring up this point. Sometimes people get so addicted to the abuse that their life feels very weird when they are not receiving the abuse, whatever it be, verbally, mentally, physically, whatever.
And what they're used to is not having freedom and autonomy for themselves. And when you haven't, the longer you've been in those kinds of situations, the more weird it's going to feel when you're not having it. And so you got to be really careful if that's you. And if you're coming from an abusive relationship, I'm 100% recommending professional counseling for you, because you're going to have to learn yourself how to be different, who you are and what's okay and what's not okay, what's healthy, what's not healthy, so that you don't keep making the same relationship patterns.
And we hear that people that have been married to alcoholics or addicts or whatever tend to go right back into those same patterns when they find somebody new, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Clinically, isn't that
true? We just call it, you know, it's the same person, different name.
Yeah.
But their attributes are the same.
So the point is that they had become comfortable with that set of behavior, whatever that is.
It was their normal.
It was their normal.
That's what they
and
knew.
So they just kind of naturally gravitate to that kind of person. We know codependent people do that.
Absolutely. It's what they know. And so you got to learn to know something different. If you're coming from that kind of situation, you have to be able to recognize, okay, that was not okay. And I've got to learn differently so that I can go forward with my life in a healthy way. And so that's a process.
Okay, one process. I like that word. And one thing that you and I talk about a lot on this show is chunking. Okay? And I want you to relate chunking to moving from a relationship that has been controlling, abusive, verbally abusive, whatever the case may be. Maybe you've been a person who's been a victim that's been locked in rooms. I mean, whatever the case may be. And how do you use that chunking principle to begin to build a new life?
Okay, so chunking is basically taking a big task and breaking it down into a lot smaller, more manageable tasks.
Okay.
And so if you're wanting to task, I want to separate, what will that take to get you there? You know, you're going to have, you know, some finances or a place to go or some support. And those are chunking is, all right, I'm going to focus on building some supports, or I'm going to focus on building finances. And we're chunking it into smaller things that we can manage. And you're going to see those steps forward to get you where you're really trying to go.
Okay, so you probably will not leave your spouse and start the divorce process and buy another house right then. Right?
No, most people don't.
What do most people do?
Most people have to take a step back, maybe
rent an apartment,
right,
whatever.
And
the
that's
case
okay.
may be temporarily. So that you chunk that living space. That's the point, right?
Absolutely.
You change your living space. You're no longer under the same roof of the abuser or the person that you have decided to divorce.
Absolutely. And so now you have that space. Now you're going to have new sets of freedoms and responsibilities with that space. And so it's just chunking those tasks. Maybe I have to learn how to pay bills. I never had to do it. Or maybe I have to learn to cook food because somebody else did that for me. And so, or do my laundry. You start learning those tasks one at a time, or finding people who can help you learn those things for yourself.
Okay, let's have a for instance. So a woman is battered. She's been abused for years, cheated on, whatever. She gets an apartment. She files for divorce. The party that is the abuser, generally speaking, wants their abusee back.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, because you can't abuse yourself.
Right.
You know, you have to have another person.
Somebody to abuse, right?
Right.
And so there's going to be a challenge, a set of challenges, sometimes for months goes on, where that abuser is trying his or her best to undermine the independence of the person who escaped.
Absolutely. And you have to know that's going to happen out the gate.
Would you address that?
The more unhealthy a relationship is, the more vulnerable you are to that. And that's where you really are going to need to limit your contact and your conversation with that person, because it is going to drain the life out of you. And it takes a lot of strength to move forward. It takes a lot of strength to leave a situation. And you can't afford to have things that are zapping that strength from you. So that is where limiting that contact, limiting those conversations, not engaging in conversations, not feeling like you have to defend yourself or reply to something, letting it go.
Just let it go.
Letting it go.
And a lot of times, this kind of a situation I'm describing has already been through years of counseling and attempts to mend the situation. And it's finally to the point where there is no going back, right?
Absolutely.
So at that point, the person that's left the abusive situation needs to start working on their boundaries.
Oh, first things first, because to be in that situation, you lose your boundaries. So you're going to have to start learning to develop those boundaries. And that happens with limiting your contact, limiting what messages you're taking in and how you're responding, and putting strong limits there.
So a person who says, well, it's not affecting me, these 500 texts this week, it is affecting
you. It can't not.
Right.
It has to. It's impacting you. If nothing else, it's taking strength. And to go forward takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot to step backwards and say, okay, I need to make a new vision for my life and a new trajectory that I'd like to see it go on. And so it takes strength to do that, because you're doing it with less resources than you once had. And so you can't afford to let things that drain that. It's like a sucker fish, you know, just sucking the life out of you. You kind of have to cut it off the best you can. And if you have kids, it's a little more complicated, but you need legal counsel and maybe advocates to help set those limits and boundaries. But you need to have your own limits and boundaries when it comes to that too.
And realize that you're taking care of yourself. It's a healthy thing to do to not respond to abusive emails, texts, etc.
Well, but phone because calls. You've been in that, you've normalized that mm-hmm. unhealthy pattern.
It's normalized.
It's going to feel weird to not.
Right.
Because you're so used to it. So that's where.
Addiction? Is it an addiction?
It's not really an addiction. It's just.
You're normal.
Really, it's your normal. It's what the way you've lived for however long you were in this. And so that's where that professional counseling, that's where support groups, that's where having those support people that can help hold you accountable or help you see what's healthy and what's not, because you can't see that for yourself yet.
Right.
You learn to see that as you start learning to see what healthy is. You really start to see what healthy is not. But when you're first coming out, you don't get it. You know something's wrong and you don't like it. It feels bad, but you're still not able to say, yeah, that's not healthy or that's not okay or that's, you're not quite there. And that's why we need other people to kind of help us see that.
That's all making total sense here. We're going around a big circle, but it's coming around to, if you're going to make the step and you're going through it, and some of you may be going through it right now that are listening, then you have to start creating healthy boundaries, right?
Absolutely. And that will start with having professional counseling to help you learn your own healthy support groups, maybe, or just friends that you trust or people that you trust that can say, hey, that's not okay, or hey, I'm concerned about that. And the last thing you want when you're going in the middle of this, no matter what situation you're coming from, is not to get into another romantic relationship.
Why not?
Well, first of all.
And some people out there may say, oh, if I can just find the right person, then I better go out to clubs. I better go to bars. I better find the right person to replace this person I'm leaving.
Absolutely. So those are rebound relationships. And rebound relationships are usually not healthy.
Right.
And so you're spending all this time and energy of leaving unhealthy. You don't want to walk right back into unhealthy and feel miserable with a different face. And so you got to learn to do it different. And that takes time.
Why are rebound relationships usually unhealthy?
Because you're not healthy yet.
Oh,
you're still seeing unhealthy relationship patterns as normal.
Right.
You may not have that self-discovery yet. You may not know what's okay, what I think is not okay, what I think is okay. And you learn that in that process. Plus, you have to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And
that really takes time, doesn't it?
And there's not a time limit. Some people say, oh, well, you know, you should heal in 3 months. There's no time on grief.
Right.
It's a process. And if you have children, your children need you. They don't need someone else. They need you to focus on you. And if you're out there trying to date, you're not spending time helping your kids heal.
Right. Get They're your mind off of the dating thing. Yeah.
Time to know I'm valued, I'm loved, I'm important, and that their feelings matter too.
I think from people I've been around for years, I think that when they are going through that divorce process, some people get fixated on, I got to find somebody to take over these financial responsibilities or provide a better house or whatever. And that's a real danger zone.
It's a huge danger zone, because if you're finding somebody out of your need to find somebody, you're finding somebody unhealthy. You may be putting your kids at risk. I can't tell you the number of kids I work with who have been sexually abused by a paramour of one of their parents.
Right.
And I just
paramour
because,
meaning a lover or a girlfriend. A romantic, boyfriend.
Yeah, it could be. And it goes both ways. Just because you're a man and you bring a woman does not mean that that's a safe person.
Right.
And they're really at risk. And so you need that independence. You need to know I can keep our heads above water. We may not be living the lifestyle we'd like to live, but we're okay.
Right.
We have food. We have shelter. We have what we need.
And actually, children, if they really tell the truth, they want an environment without yelling and screaming and door slamming and name calling, right?
Absolutely. But then when that happens, they need you.
Right.
They need to know that they're important.
Yes.
You know, because it's a process for them as well. And they're healing. They need that parent. They need individual time with that parent. They need time with our family is valued. And we are going to get through this together.
Right.
And that can't happen when you're out trying to find someone else.
But some people are very fixated on that. That's my point.
They are.
You know?
And then they bring unhealthy home and we have the same thing. And a new person and new extra dynamics to this whole situation. And it's further hurting your children in the process.
So the do not is do not.
Do not go for a romantic relationship for at least a year after the divorce.
I think that's great advice.
Give yourself time to heal.
And give yourself time to figure out what you do want. You know, you may know what you don't want. But the other thing I'd like to say here is that some people can pose or act like they are something they are not. Some people out on the prowl for that are dating or whatever can actually lie about who they really are, right?
It happens all the time.
Especially with social media these days, right?
Well, right now, one of the most big, you know, the biggest way people are meeting people is online. And you can be anybody you want online. You let them see whatever you want them
to
see.
You can have a picture of someone else.
They do.
And they do.
And there's so many scams through online dating. Like, just take time with you. It's a gift you need to give yourself and your children if you have them.
Absolutely. All right. So don't talk about the divorce or your ex to everyone, right? We mentioned that.
We did.
Very important.
We did, and
be
it
selective.
Is important. Be selective. Be careful who you confide in. People backstab you. Use that information maybe against you. Just be careful who you confide in. Make sure you're confiding in people you can trust.
All right. Avoid what else?
Well, avoid starting bad habits. A lot of times people start bad habits going through a divorce because they're trying to comfort themselves. And so
overeating,
drinking, smoking, clubbing, like gambling, you can name it, a bad habit can start. And instead of bad habits, look at the good habits like we talked about earlier. Meeting new friends, finding new hobbies, maybe figuring out what foods I like or books I like to read or movies I like to see. Start discovering you.
Join a book club. Join church or go to church. Do different things maybe than you've ever done before.
Right. You're going to have to fill time. And that's what happens. That time you used to have with that other person is going to be a void. And you're going to feel lonely. And when we feel lonely, sometimes we're more vulnerable to open doors we don't want to open. But in the moment, it feels right. And so open those doors with healthy things.
Okay. So avoid what? What kinds of things?
Anything that would be a bad habit. Overeating, smoking, drinking, clubbing, you know, all those kinds of things.
Drugs, alcohol,
all that kind of stuff is not going to take us down a good road.
And just plain sleeping around. Be careful about that, right?
But that's bad habits. Cutting yourself off from everyone and just staying in your pajamas all day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't get stuck there.
All right. And we talked about don't get into a relationship. Another one within the first year.
Yes.
So important.
Yes.
There's got to be another do not that we've forgotten. What is it?
Do not make assumptions about the outcome of your divorce. I see this so often when people are going through the divorce that they feel like, oh, I am certainly going to get X amount of money from my ex, or I'm certainly not going to have to pay, or I'm certainly whatever. They feel like there's their outcome. They know what it's going to be. The problem is divorce has so many uncertainties.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are some formulas and we can make some guesstimates. But when we get our mind stuck on this is the outcome that's going to happen and it doesn't, there's another struggle for us.
Doesn't the judge actually decide finally how it's all going to sort out?
Right. So if you didn't agree amicably, then the judge makes that determination.
That's amicable.
Then the judge can make that determination. And it may or may not come in your favor, but it's a gamble. Just because you think you're the one in the right doesn't mean it's always going to come to your favor either. And so just don't get stuck with assuming, yes, this is what's going to happen at the end of this road, and get stuck in that mindset, because there are some uncertainties that happen along the way. And that leads to a lot of people not preparing is what it happens. And so you want to prepare for the worst. What if I got nothing? Can I keep my head above water? Well, we know that's not going to happen in most states, and especially in Florida with outcomes that. But if you can survive with nothing, then you're going to be okay when you get what you get, because it may take a while to get there. You may be entitled to a certain sum, but you have to be able to float sometimes till you can get there. And so helping you to prepare for what's coming your way when we don't get stuck thinking, yes, I'm going to have this. I know I'm going to have this. And you just get stuck there.
And don't be talking to a lot of people about what you think you're going to get. Right? Because that's kind of
really personal, and it's not other people's business. And you're really opening yourself up. And so, you know, just focus on where I'm at today and take it step by step. Don't get stuck going so far forward. And then the last one we had to cover is not placing blame. That happens. That's one of those things that keep people stuck. You may be in the right, and the person you're leaving may be completely in the wrong, and they think that I can just blame them. But the problem is you're not getting to forgiveness, and you're not able to move on when you're continuing to blame. And so at the end of the day, healthy moving forward, and forgiveness is an important part of that. And forgiveness does not mean I agree with it. It means I can move on from it. I'm letting it go from my life.
We've got to discuss that on a next show. Because, you know, there is so many, we've done shows on forgiveness. But when it comes to divorce, it's much more complicated, I think,
than the average
thing that happens at work or with your relative or whatever. I mean, this is some big ball of twine here, you know, that has to be sorted through sometimes.
Well, it's because it's so intimate. You're trusting another person with your heart, with your finances, with, you know, where you live. You're trusting them with so many parts of your life.
And you've promised to love and obey and or whatever.
A lot of people go in like, this is a lifetime commitment. And then
I did.
The bottom falls out.
Right.
And there's a lot of pieces of your life that get impacted, from your friends to your finances to your kids to, you know, who you think you are.
Right.
And so there can be a lot of elements that we need to work through on that forgiveness process. But we can't get there as long as we're blaming the whole time. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We have to be able to move forward, and that can't happen until we can start letting it go. Because I've watched people carry that divorce for 30, 40 years.
Oh, I have too. And I know situations, people that can tell you hurts that happened 35, 40 years ago. Yes.
Like they were yesterday. And it's like they're
dragging it. Elephant memory.
Yep.
Oh, my. So we got to get out of here, Dr. Angel. Can you sum up what we've talked about tonight in a couple sentences? And let's encourage all of you to stay with us in this series and learn everything you can. It might help you or somebody else, you know.
Absolutely. So if you're that person that's going through this situation, just start making friends, building your supports, getting out there, discovering yourself, giving yourself time to heal, limiting the negativity you're letting come into your life so that you can move forward, and it will get better.
It will. There is life after divorce. So we got to get out of here, and we encourage you to tell people about our show, have them check out the podcast right here on tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast, Go Yard. You'll catch up with this series. Go to our website, goyard2014.org. And listen to some of these shows. We're in our fourth year. There's a ton of free counseling out there for you. This show will be heard again at noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, starcomradionetwork.com. Who are you?
I'm Dr. Angel.
That's right. That's who you are. I'm Mama Mac, and we will see you all next week right here on Go Yard. Have a great week.
Good night.